What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Starlight Digest, a podcast bringing line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. This is episode 253, being recorded on April 3rd, 2024. I'm your host, Darth Moocher. I've got Scott Solo here.
What's up, nerds?
And Grand Admiral Franz.
Hey!
Joey might be late. We'll see. And Ernie, maybe he'll come and visit us. Who knows?
Celebrating his 500 subscribers still.
There's that. I mean, it's a year-long celebration. Well done. There we go. of course, before we get into all the good Star Wars stuff there is, and we get into shout-out in the pit, we got to shout-out our Shadow Council first. So, Scott, take it away.
You got it, man. Hey, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. I got Captain Rex around here somewhere. He's over there. But thanks for joining us. And as always, a special shout out to our Patreon Shadow Council. And that would be AJ from the Forbidden Panel, Brandon and Anya Epler, Brian C., Cliff, Commander Cook, Crystal E. We've got Dennis McGrath, Don the Dad Dorn, Eric Grubb, Flavie Davey, formerly of the Nerds with Attitude, Gavin Connor from the Holy Hour All Cure podcast, Justin the Vanilla Thunder, Luke, a.k.a. Drunk.
Maybe, possibly.
Else. Maybe, if he's lucky. Junk Droid 77, Mervine Bolanos, Matt Logic, Nicholas Schaefer, Papa Schmitty, and our pal Ryan and the Star Joes podcast. If you are interested in becoming a member of the Shadow Council, just scan that QR code right there and donate a couple of bucks, and it all goes back into the production of this show. And maybe it will help me untie my tongue, because apparently I'm having a hard time speaking today.
Got more alcohol.
Woo!
He will be drunk. That's what drunk I need. Droid.
Drunk droid. Master base of Pokemon.
Yes.
Can't even say it. And then over there in the chat right now in the pit, we've got Don the Dad Dorn. We've got This Is The Way. We've got Quinn the Quesadilla.
So far, the name.
I love that.
The name to beat this so far this evening.
It is. Rhino Hobbies. We've got Matt Logic 44. Isaac Escalera. And our pal, Brandon Epler. What right. is up?
A few of those Shadow Council members in the pit. Ready to talk Star Wars. Right?
Nice. That's right.
Yeah, so as we get closer to the Acolyte in June, right, we're going to get more information and more stuff. And I think we were talking about this, you know, kind of like in the chat, where it's like, I kind of want to skip the hype and I just want to watch the show.
Yeah,
this is the type of show. It's already gotten this kind of like, you know, rough wave of whatever it is and whatever the internet does to massage a show before it comes out. I'm like, I just want to watch it at this point. Just because I'm missing a live action, I want some live action, you know, Star Wars, and we'll see where it goes, right?
The hype sucks then, now, right?
Huh?
The hype sucks now. You don't want it does. The hype anymore. You it's don't too want long. The, you don't yeah. want the. Yeah. No, it's not. It's just the negativity. Yeah. But it comes. It once you know, there's a span of time.
Yeah.
Between like the trailer and it appearing that everybody's just going to argue, and a period after that, you just want to get to it, so at least we can argue about what happens. Instead
there
of
you
what
go.
Might possibly happen.
I agree with you, man. 100% I agree with you. I think I'd fun. Rather, yeah, I'd rather argue plot points than real life stuff, right? Like just like what we did with Ghostbusters from our Beyond the Pit that dropped on Monday. If you haven't seen that one, it's a shameless plug there. But just like that, like I'd rather argue the stuff that we're getting in canon, not argue, but like you know, discuss try to
it,
you know
dissect it, tear it down. You know,
there you go. Down. Yeah. 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 So Entertainment Earth, of course, just like they do with every show, right? They have an article coming out or a write-up on the Acolyte coming up. And so they drop two pictures. So I'll go ahead and post these or put this up real fast. Let's do the obvious one first. You know, I think we've seen something like this. So here we are. We have Jecky Long, L-O-N. That's the name of the character. X-23 from Wolverine, you know, from Logan. Plays this character. So at my first thing is like, I'm glad there's Star Wars stuff in the background. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, cool. Control panels, Star Wars, let's go.
Yeah, cheap control panels, old audio type things, right? Like the
desktop analog.
Very, very old Star Wars. I'm cool with this. Yeah.
Right. And so I'm like, okay, cool.
And look at the walls. Go back real fast.
Yeah.
More white and blue right now. We're not in the imperial grays.
Correct.
Right? Yes. All the same stuff. Yeah. So that's cool. And she's, we talked about this before. She's the species of the dancer in Jabba's palace, right?
The special edition dancer.
Yeah, the special edition dancer.
And I wanted to kind of like, before I put the other picture up and stuff, but yeah, that picture, you exactly. It's a different time frame. So let's see that different time frame, right?
Yeah.
Let's see Star Wars in that George Lucas says where everything is more polished, more streamlined, more. I'm sure we will get the high tech of it. I don't know. Nothing in that trailer seemed high tech anyway. Seemed like
not really,
yeah, kind of like slums of whatever doing things.
It's the first time that we're seeing anything in an era that far back, right? I mean, it's only 100 years before the Phantom Menace, but I would like to see some sort of difference. It doesn't have to be earth shattering or it has to be incredibly different, but just something a little bit more antique about it.
100% right? Agree with you. And I think that when we discussed last week about the Jedi robes being going from like gold and white to like that browns and tans, it's that transition period of the Jedi's at peace versus the Jedi's at war kind of thing where I want to see the environments change with that too. So within the show, it did take into place obviously 100 years before the Phantom Menace and stuff. So let's see that. I want to say deterioration of Star Wars galaxy moving into the Empire, you know, just like, I mean, the prequels did a great job. Every 1, 2, and 3, we went from like Jedi starfighters to mimicked TIE fighters almost within 3 movies. Right. And that was a cool transition, but this will give us more of that, like, you know, a different world. We get to live in for a while.
I think it'll be very clean, though. Don't you, Scott? Or, sorry.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I think with the Phantom Menace, everything was very polished. Mm-hmm. You know, that all things considered, that could still be part of the High Republic era, right? Because the Sith hadn't emerged yet. So everything was highly polished, and it wasn't until the war really tore things up to where we ended up getting that really kind of grungy, lived-in universe.
The industrial
complex is Star Wars, right?
So it should feel like the prequels. It should feel it.
But even a little older, I would like to see just, you know, a little slightly different architecture, maybe.
I agree.
The technology is a little bit, even the holograms, make the holograms a little different. Like they seemed a little bit better, like in the sequels, right? Like holograms have come a little bit of a ways in technology. Let's see if we can go back a bit and they're like fuzzier, trashier things. Something to work through that, or they're not holograms quite yet, they're on screen, something to the effect that we know there's been advancement in technology over 100 years,
because that separates the periods, you know.
And the whole thing about the High Republic and Starlight Beacon, the whole reason Starlight Beacon existed was so they could communicate with the Outer Rim, right?
We should
see, I mean, this is what, 200 years after that, so maybe it's ironed itself out a little bit, but I think there should still be communications issues in the outer reaches and all that. You know, are they still using beacons to
I would like to think that like the galaxy was on this trajectory of this different plane, and then all of a sudden the Empire came and just thrust it into the medieval times of a Star Wars galaxy, and just
the dark really, ages like you were about to say.
because when we start talking about like the dark times and the Empire, people love the Empire, but you also got to realize how it changed everything. It changed. Yeah. It was this pivotal moment, and it's a reason why they call it, you know, Battle of Yavin is year zero, right? That's where I want to see this, like, complete. And we do. I just want to see that more, like the acolyte. I don't want to see just bars and cantinas.
I don't think you're going to get that in Acolyte.
I know.
We're getting that in Bad Batch.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are.
You're not going to get that in Acolyte's too early. Yeah. We're not even Sith yet. You know, it's not,
but I want to see the world
long game. This is the beginning of the long game.
It is.
No, I think from the Sith point of view, you might see a lot that that would hit the prequels.
Yeah,
but I think the look and everything in the Empire, you might have the idea of an emperor coming into play at some point, but we won't see any kind of play on the dark times yet. You know,
I want to see the world as it is in this High Republic era. Live action as a world, not just little corners of it.
You know what I mean?
So
speaking of the world, though, put that second picture up.
Yeah. So okay. All right.
I'm telling myself that this is somebody taking a photo from a really high res phone. And this is not like the version we're going to see on TV.
Right.
This is the version I'm going to see on TV. It's very TV-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A sleeve stack could pop out. You could see anything here. You could do it in a high school play.
It's got that crystal clear soap opera vibe to it.
Right? Yeah, it really does, dude.
That four, when the 1080 IP TVs came out, when it was like weird looking, you know?
They hadn't figured out the motion blur just yet, so everything.
Puts me at ease is the trailer, right? From a still to the trailer. The trailer did not look like that. But again, you know, we'll see. But yeah, very Land of the Lost. It's cool. I mean, environments. They're running out of environments in Star Wars to me a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this could be cool.
This could be Mustafar for all we know. It's got red ground.
Very true. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, exactly.
So is that
waterfalls?
Is that a crashed freighter over there on the right hand side? Because it almost looks like the interior lights of the Falcon.
It sure
does. Oh yeah, right. The little pod lights. Huh? Yeah,
it sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
Must be something like that. So yeah, something's crashed here recently because the lights are on, like you said.
Recently, but at the same time, it also looks, I don't know if that's some of the plant life around it, but it looks like it's, I don't know, it looks like it definitely crashed. There's been some damage there. So interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. I'm with it. A little things here and there. I'm cool. I'll definitely check out the Entertainment Earth article and read it and see it because, you know, I'm not as closed knit when it comes to like the TV shows versus I did with the movies. Like, I don't want to know too much. And I want to go in there as that experience here. I'm like, I actually will read the Alkali script if I had it in front of me.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I would. It's for my personal viewing of Star Wars. It goes against the grain of what I do, but we're in those times where it's like, I want to kind of get ahead of the curve a little bit. And so I guess that's being protective of it.
You want to see what's going to piss everybody off so you can defend
it? Yes, I could, so I can formulate my words correctly.
Look, man, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff in this, right?
There is.
We can just get through all the nonsense whether it's in my head or not, right? If we can get rid of it, right? Get through it, see some really cool Sith stuff in a new era, meet some cool Jedi. We're going to see the lightsaber whip for the first time, right? I mean, it's
going
to come out with her. So, with Venestra. It's going to be cool. There's going to be cool stuff. So as long as we're open to that, I mean, honestly, for me though, if Yoda is not in it at all, it's a miss, and I'll complain about that forever. Right? If we don't see the inside the Jedi Council, we don't see that kind of stuff, and this isn't what changes the
dogmatic story.
Right? That's all a miss to me. So,
yeah.
But I'm going in here open-minded. I want it to be great. I want every Star Wars to be great because honestly, this is a big thing right here. This is kind of our whole future of Star Wars kind of hinges on this because they're going to get gun shy if this completely flops, right?
Yep.
If everybody hates it, they're going to get gun shy about going outside of the saga again, you know, including the Old Republic, which it's a favorite of most people, right?
But, yeah.
You want to go there, but they're not going to have the confidence to go there if they can't handle 100 years back.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah. The good news is there's no source material in a sense with this High Republic and the Acolyte, right?
It's just how they change things. And you know what? And that's why I really hope, because it's going to start out where you have attachments, right? Because that's where the High Republic is. They are, right? We haven't sorted that out in the books yet. So as long as there's attachments, we're going to come in different. And as long as it ends where we recognize it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if it goes in there, changes it, and we're all lovey-dovey, all these people are married, and we're having Jedi babies, the entire series, there's a problem, right? Because then we have an answer where how did it become what it was in episode one. As long as we see that transition within the Jedi and we see the dark, how could you screw it up?
you know.
We can sit in a room. The three of us can sit in a room and hash that series out and make it freaking rad for everybody. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure most fans can sit there and think they can do that too. And we're no different than any other fans, but
with the attachments thing, with the attachments talk, it is interesting because I mean, Dark Disciple, Quinlan Vos, Asajj, that is a major turning point on attachments before Anakin. Anakin was like the epitome of this guy decided to destroy everything over attachments, over love. Same thing with like that kind of, you know, stuff. So if we're already doing it with Anakin, why would, how are we going to do it? Is it going to be on like the notions where Yoda's going to be like, look, I see something happening in the future. We're going to knock this off. And then he gets a backlash from that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Where he puts those strict rules in place, you know?
Right. Hit Rhino Hobbies right there. This is a great point that we can go.
Yeah.
So if Yoda isn't in it, it's a miss, right? Because he has to be, because he's 800 years old, 900 years old, right?
Yeah.
But if he is, then he knew the Sith were there before the prequels. Now, I keep saying we said Sithy.
No.
Right? Yeah. It could just be dark side acolyte assassins. Right. Right? Asajj type stuff.
Yeah. In the High Republic novels right now, Yoda is very aware that there are Darksiders. In the current, the latest High Republic novel, he actually brings a Darkside acolyte before the council to seek advice on how to handle something. So Yoda knows the Darksiders exist. It's just not the dogmatic Sith, right? It's just a Darkside user.
Yeah. So, how can they keep tabs on the entire galaxy with
I could play that into the prequels, because all of us in episode one, when they start talking about the Sith returning and everybody, they kind of look at each other. I mean, I know it's retconning stuff like crazy, right?
No, you're right.
Go back and watch it. And I haven't watched episode one in a minute, but
they
know
do give glances, side eye, like
Goku is talking and Mace Windu and everybody, they look at Yoda and Yoda's all. let's check into this, right?
Yoda's like, nothing to see here.
There was zero problem headcanoning that conversation. That's why the whole problem in that council.
I agree.
One, I would be cool with that, actually. That Yoda kind of had a hint it was coming, but he couldn't quite figure it out. And by episode one, he's like, I'm being blinded, man. I can't sense anything.
Either blinded or trying to sweep it under the rug. Like, we've got a hold of this. Yeah. No need to tell everybody.
It's gonna kill your Yoda, man. It's gonna kill everybody's Yoda. It is, even mine. It's Yoda is gonna be the piece in here that really screws it up. And by the time he goes to Dagobah, it's gonna be well deserved.
Yeah, he's like, I was planning on going to Dagobah anyway, so I'm gonna go.
Or they don't use him at all, or he's just not present.
I don't think they're gonna use him myself.
I don't think so either.
Think he's going to be in it. I maybe mentioned. I don't think you're going to see. If we do, it'll be a hologram of a fleeting mention of where he's at.
Yeah.
That's my gut feeling on this, right? But I had the open script, like, yes, you, like, we, like I was telling, I'm sorry, Scott, like, we were telling, like, let's go, man. Let's add, let's put the stuff in there. Why we have to, you know, tiptoe around everything and be like, you know, this is going on in Star Wars. Why can't we just show some things, like important things, like put Yoda in there, put, you know, Plagueis in there, or his Matt, like put things in there. Don't just like, if you keep tiptoeing, then the series does really nothing. It's just a fun visual.
Don't always hint. Yeah.
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 No, but I wanted out of Bad Batchman. Yeah.
In the novels, he's not a member of the council, right? Yoda in the High Republic, he's not a member of the council. He is a Jedi Master that is out in the galaxy doing his Jedi Master thing. He's not the Grand Master just yet. He is just a Jedi Master. So it is quite possible that this could, he could still be out there roaming the galaxy doing his thing.
Yeah.
With the, you know,
it'll be good. Something like,
is there a chance though? Is there a chance? Cause Vanessa Rowe, okay. She's well old enough at this point. Right. She's on the council for sure. Could she be the Grand Master right now? And we know she doesn't exist much longer. Right. And
her
downfall is Yoda's
trajectory. Yeah. You know,
and with all the reasoning going on and how it happened, because her attachment to somebody, some attachment screwed up, Yoda puts in a set of rules.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be. And it could be where it's like, it could be too. Also the downfall of certain Jedi's. We're like, we're not going to involve Yoda at this. Like, we're not going to tell him. You know what I mean? Maybe we just...
God, that would drive me nuts, dude.
I don't know. Yeah, we have to see how it plays out, right? So,
yeah.
Obi-Shan Kenobi is checking in. He also said that the council may only see them as dark side users versus blown... You can't stop the dark side. There's all over the place, right? But
and they're going to deny until the end of time with the Sith, right?
Even if they do come back, we've got a stranglehold on the galaxy as far as the line of the good. And there's no good and evil. It's power and who wields it, right? That is like going to be a very important saying going forth with the acolyte doing this. And then as you see, because from a certain point of view, you know, it what did Palpatine said? Power, all, you know, unlimited power. And it's the Jedi crave it too. They just won't tell you, right? He told that to Anakin. So there is, I mean, in a sense, it's all true. Like, they crave power. They're willing the light side to control things. And, you know, Jedi do let things happen over the greater good and all that stuff. And they have their rules. And of course, the attachment rules is what is their main downfall. You know, that is their main downfall.
Yeah.
You know, if Anakin never had to hide it, right, then they could have helped him, you know? So, so there's something in another way, there's something that really drastically has to happen for them to make that rule too. Not just like, I just have a sense. I know, like I said, Anakin was the sample. He was the reason for that, right? But they had that rule before him.
Yeah, exactly. He just happened
to be. So are we repeating
the mother attachment, the Padme attachment, even Obi-Wan attachment and break? You know, everything was about Anakin's attachments that he wasn't allowed to have.
Yeah.
And why they bring in kids so young so they don't gain those attachments.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's too old. It's not because it's too hard to learn when you're older. It's because now you have all these, this love and attachment and different feelings now.
Right.
When they want to keep you as, you know, just a.
Yeah. Nothing. Don Dorn saying, you guys just need to sit back and enjoy. Don't look at stuff to complain about. Well, we wouldn't have a podcast.
what do we do here?
We really wouldn't have a podcast because we do, Don. Like, honestly, we do sit back and enjoy. But our whole lives, we've been also talking about Star Wars and it's mostly what happened in the show. And again, it's not like complaining. It's more like, okay, help me figure this out. Help me work this around and why this character did this or why this planet did what they're doing. You know what I mean? And that,
because
it makes no
sense in the history of our experience.
Yeah.
Some of the times it doesn't make sense and we need it explained. And that's what sometimes the fandom,
especially
has a
with
too.
New shows, new canon, new content. This is all new information. Again, what we do, we take it, put it in this little chapter and we see this as a grand timeline. So putting it in its place presents new obstacles and new content to go over, new characters, new reasons, all that stuff. You know, we don't, besides the High Republic stuff, we haven't really explored this whole Jedi in full power, right? We got them right at the beginning of the end downfall, and we saw their downfall and all that stuff. So this is going to be exciting. And like I said, the new threats have to remain secret, and they're going to, not to the audience though, but to the characters in the show. To us, we could be like, you know, let's see this stuff. Let's see that temple, like a Sith temple being resurrected into power.
And holocrons in live action.
Yeah, you know, let's see Sith Eternal. Let's see like this, like Korriban being reborn or something, right? Or something, you know, that would be very, very cool for us. And I think I'd get absolutely excited for future stuff and Old Republic stuff, because that is like the height.
And that's
Jedi
more dark times, right?
Oh, so God.
You're right about the Jedi at their height, because this is kind of it, right? There's no war going on. They're kind of
just the peacekeeper right now, putting out fires and just trying to live in this, remain in power. They're trying
to not even part of the Republic, right?
I was about to say that. Right. Yeah, they shouldn't even own entity. Yeah, they should not have anything to do with the council or the Senate or anything.
All Yoda's decrees right now. We've made too much damage. We need to be checked. This is the Sokovia Accords, right? This is going to have a little Jedi Civil War coming, and he's all, we got to be part of the Republic. We need rules.
They don't. They're not attending the Senate meetings. They're not being asked to council. They have their Jedi temples, and they're doing Jedi things. So. Yeah, that's important too. So it's going to set the stage of you have the Jedi temple.
Country song. I don't know why. Just
oh my God.
You know, Jedi temple doing Jedi things.
Write it. Do it. And then you have the Senate doing their thing. And then, of course, because of the we'll have to see why in the Phantom Menace were they merged. Yeah. So the Acolyte could bridge that as far as like, okay, you know, we saw this threat coming, but the Sith really hasn't come back. And so, and hey, you know what? The show might even like throw us a bone too and be like, oh, they know everything. It's like it happened, but they figured they snuffed it out before it even got anywhere. And then we'll see. I know that the whole thing was like, we're going to see the good bad guys on the run and then the good guys more in numbers and power versus rather than vice versa. We're not going to see good guys. So it's going to be like, we're going to follow the bad guys, you know? So, and their dire need to escape and their close quarters of stuff like that. So that's going to be interesting to have that kind of perspective, you know? Let's see here. Obi-Shan, will the Jedi merger with the Senate be their idea or mandated by the Senate?
Well, I think Yoda and old Valorum or whoever
whoever
senior, because wasn't there another Valorum, like two chancellors or several chancellors
before? Valorums ago?
Yeah, a couple of Valorums ago. So we'll probably be in that same situation. And
that one alien with the two dog things from High Republic, is she not in the...
That's 200 years. 200 years.
Yeah, but who knows?
No, for sure.
Oh, elections. Right. Duh. So it'd be terms, right? Because they do have terms. Mm-hmm. That would have been cool though. Live, that would have been cool, kind of a cool concept, you know. Too far. I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, what going on the whole world building in dark times, right? Like, I want to kind of shift our focus to Bad Batch because I do want to ask this. Okay, Jake Gooding.
Out of nowhere, Bad Batch is my jam.
My God.
Right. Two seasons. Three seasons. No. Yes.
Jake Gooding checking in. Yo, what's up, everyone? Thanks for checking in, man. I do want to ask the pit, how many of you guys are following Bad Batch and kind of like getting into the talks of it, or are you just kind of sleeping on it?
Maybe, or you're just waiting for us to go through it. That's learning on it.
That is a true question. I want to know, because first season I was checked out. I mean, three episodes in, I was checked out.
Yeah.
Dude. Second season, okay, piqued my interest in this thing of the potentials. Third season has been like, wow.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Okay.
I checked out during season 7 of Clone Wars during their arc. I skip that all day.
There was
no problem. I was not Bad Batch ready. I'm like, why are we doing this one?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Ahsoka needs a show. Oh, yeah.
That. So Julianne Ferney, Jenobi is watching it, all of it, reading others' theories. Awesome. 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 Obi-Shan is also watching it, and Rhino Hobby is so far all watching it. Awesome. Okay, cool. Good. So we're on the right track. And so we got the double episode of, it's called Identity Crisis and Point of No Return, back to back. And right off the bat, these two thrust us in, and I always love to explore the dark times. When Kenobi says, before the Empire, before the dark times. And this really, it wasn't just an oppressive government. This was like, this is World War II and repeated in Star Wars terms, right? I know that we always complain. It's like, try to leave real world stuff out of it.
Crazy science experiments going on.
Kidnapping kids, Dawn the Dead Dwarves watching it. This is the way it's watching. Yeah, guys, awesome. I love that because it isn't a show to sleep on. This season, if it was more of the same, I'd say, I'm not into it, but for God's sake, dude, like, We started with Cad Bane doing his old thing, working for himself, kidnapping Force users and turning them into Hemlock.
Kids.
Like, and babies. Why kids? They even explain it because they're more docile. And
the baby was less hassle, the guy, one of the troops said, right? Scorch said.
Yeah.
So not only is he doing this, but it's also a callback to what was happening in Rebels.
Yes.
Remember, they were also kidnapping force sensitive children in Rebels, but we never quite understood why.
That's right. Didn't he steal the holocron from the Clone Wars.
Oh shit. So it started that far back in Clone Wars, right? And it continues through the Bad Batch, and then we see it in Rebels, which is, 15 years after Bad Batch is when Rebels is happening, and it's still going on, but we never got an explanation in the Rebels as to why. I always kind of assumed they were just building up more Inquisitors, right? Yeah, I assumed that they were going to train those kids to be Inquisitors. What if it's this? Maybe it's the continuation of Project Necromancer because they never quite got it right.
It's twofold, they just keep
searching and searching and searching into the Mandalorian. Yeah. We're still searching.
Or it's more of it. Like the notion of putting a conscious force sensitive into a clone body with force sensitive requires so much more. It's like, I'm going to require 100,000 force users to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's twofold, right? It's to make sure that nobody's being trained as Jedis and all the force users are being hunted either destroyed or used as lab, you know, lab rats.
Or used for them.
And used for this. Yes. And again, it's the Emperor's long-term plan on this whole thing too. He could have this, you know, taking every Force user that because again, you're not going to stop Force users from being born. You're just going to stop them from being Force users. You know,
would have been cool if that kidnapped. Was the Sith army on in the Sith with the Sith
Eternals. Oh, right? Dude, the Sith Eternals.
All the kids grew up and they wanted all that stuff. That would be
cool. That's a great way of making us happy about the sequels, having those kind of things in, right?
Yeah, would have been cool if that was explained, but we'll use Bad Batch.
It's cool. We'll explain it. Yeah, exactly. Isaac's checking in every season, digging it all. Absolutely, I love it. I love it. Well,
I love three for sure.
Yeah,
two got
this
better.
Season. Yeah, this three's, season
makes killing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Hey, so real quick,
they had to marinate it, I guess. But
yeah, they marinated. Cad Bane, real fast. So. Everybody loves Cad Bane. Like, he's a cool character, right? But isn't he the shittiest one out of everybody? Like, honestly, he should die. Like, I shouldn't. Nobody should be like, oh, yeah, Cad Bane.
Oh, you mean like.
Kids, like, for 30 years.
Yeah. You mean like a bad dude? Like,
he's the worst one of the worst. But he doesn't act like he's so cool and smooth in the cartoon. And you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's badass. And then even when he shows up in Boba Fett, you're like, oh, yeah. Freaking Cad Bane's here, cool. Then you realize, wait, this guy was kidnapping people in the Clone Wars. He's kidnapping kids right now. He's kidnapping kids in Rebels. Like I said, 30 years of this guy taking people, taking little kids. He's pretty
Kenobi. Yeah, Cad Bane is a dirty dog. That yes, is. And I'm gonna tell you this. I love it because Star Wars needs these kind of characters because we can't have redemptions for everybody or their own personal story. Like. Han Solo doing this and then being a smuggler and a scoundrel and wanting to be, and then being like one of the greatest heroes. We always can't have humanity and everybody that's quote unquote a villain. Like I love George Lucas's quote from the very beginning. If they look like they're a bad guy, then they're a bad guy. You know what I mean? Cad Bane is a bad guy. And you're right. It's like, we shouldn't be.
There's too much love pumping. For him. Right. We shouldn't be
fist bumping because he's like, ooh. You know, like, I thought he was going to be killing babies at one point, you know? So.
He's like the Palpatine of the bounty hunters, right? I mean, yes. Palpatine is just straight up bad. Cad Bane, straight up bad. We don't need, I mean, like Boba Fett. We all thought that Boba Fett was just straight up bad, right?
Yeah.
He's a big pussy.
What if we got Boba Fett like that? Would you feel that same way or would be like fist pumping with Boba Fett?
I think I would have had the same problem with the kidnapping. Only because of the old legends, right? Yeah, I didn't know Boba was a bad guy. Yeah. Boba has a code, and that wouldn't have been it. And that's a problem. And you know what? Everybody has a freaking code, usually, like no kids, you know, and things like
but that. But not Cad Bane, dude. He's not like, he's doing this on his own. He's like doing this, ripping the kids from people's families and taking them to Hemlock, like, here's another one. Where's my money? And not because he's hired to do it. He's just making
Well, kind of, he knows there's money in it. He doesn't have to be, you know, he's just doing the one. And what did Emery say? How many of these have you done? He's just to say I'm good at my job.
Yeah.
Dude, what's her name was number 54, SP 54.
Yeah.
There's at least four subjects.
They don't go home, right? That's what I'm assuming. Hemlock, SP-21's
been there a minute, and he's not going home.
And this is why I say the dark times, because again, there's a coolness to the Empire, but there's also a cruelness to it that we should remember. And I said, you know, when those books come out, like the certain point of views, like when you make Stormtrooper and make other, you make them sympathetic, it becomes, you blur the lines of this whole good, bad thing. Right. I mean, again, as cool as they look, they are bad. Like the Empire is not a good thing for this all. And I like to remind, like this kind of stuff reminds me of that, you know?
Yeah.
The Bad Batch is doing a great job reminding, like this whole Mount Tantus and Hemlock, you know?
Oh, Hemlock's another one of those characters. There's no redeeming Hemlock, right?
No,
he's just dirty.
He's in it.
I like Hemlock.
Let's talk about the fact that Hemlock had a conversation with Tarkin where he kind of pulled some rank on Tarkin. I had
the same note.
Well, Tarkin was like, you're spending a little too much.
And Hemlock classified him. That's classified target.
Yeah. Hemlock has a directive from the Emperor himself, right?
Yeah.
So Tarkin does not have the Emperor's ear like we think he does, right?
But he did name drop him to Tarkin, right? Remember, he name dropped him, and then Tarkin was like, well, this better work pan out. Like Tarkin kind of did a 180, right?
Tarkin called him to get information.
What are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? If this doesn't pan out, what you going to do, man?
This I came from, right here. You know what I mean? And Tarkin's like, well, this better pan out. And then,
Tarkin knew that. And Tarkin is, that's probably the problem. He's probably mad because he's not getting information. He's like, what the hell is happening? So he just called him to pull some rank, not realizing Hemlock would fight back. Cause he was just, he was probably just fishing for info.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have any reason to call. It was just fishing.
The funds, the funds that are being reallocated to Hemlock's project are probably coming from the Death Star project, right? So it's setting the Death Star back.
What do you mean we can't have golden toilets in the administration
office? It takes that long to build the Death Star because you're putting it in your damn necromancer.
How cool.
It is cool. That, now, we're talking about redemptions. Emery's dumbass is obviously going to be the one to save the day, right?
Or die.
It's the female clone doctor. Yeah, she's got some sympathy for what's going on.
She's the reason they're going to find her.
And she's in the inner circle. And she's in the head took in Nala Se's point. She's going to discover, like, she's in that blood room now, right? She's going to discover exactly what she's doing. You're going to see something where she's going to either free those younglings in the chamber, or she's going to die doing something.
She'll call the batch. They have to get here at some point, right? I know I'm driving about it here on the ending, but they have to find it. And the only way to find it is probably Emery.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Or Omega using a force at the end, but we'll get into that.
Oh, dude. Did I text you moving rocks? I almost did.
You almost did.
About to move rocks. Damn it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, let's check in with the chat real fast. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, didn't they say, though, that they can't clone directly the...
Yes. Yes.
So there's still something about her blood that accepts the midichlorians. It's not
Yeah. Exactly. But...
Hold on. They said they can't clone... They can't clone midichlorians directly from the source, but Nala Se found a way.
Right.
That's the key. That's why they need Omega. Yeah. Omega's the way.
And she's going to tap into it. Yeah.
That's why they have to have Omega alive. She's the way.
Okay.
Santo 1414, check it in. What's up, man? Let's see here. Let's go to... this is the way I take Cad Bane over Sid any day.
Okay. Thank God she was just a name drop. Right? Yeah. We took care of the Trandoshan. Didn't even give her a name.
Right, the Trandoshan. Yeah, exactly.
Just fine by me.
Isaac saying Cad Bane about to be on Catch Predator.
No joke.
Okay, let's see here. It says Obi-Wan Kenobi saying, I won't feel bad now when Cobb Vanth puts one between his eyes in the future of Book of Fett 2. Yeah, I mean, there's that thing, right? It's like if Cad Bane, like I wish he would stay dead. I'm hoping he does stay dead and all that stuff. And I think he's still a badass character, but you're 100% right. Now this is putting in perspective of like, this dude is just in it. There was another
He's also saying, super old. It'd be cool for Boba to take him out, not Cobb.
And it did. Isaac, does Cad even care about the money? Seems like he just likes it, the thrill of it. Yeah.
He's throwing money at his informants too. He's just throwing the
money. He's like, whatever. He's just
does it so much, he's got so much money. Now it's just a matter, people that have money want more money. it's addicting.
Yeah, this is the way Clone X shot his own soldier. Sign me up. Empire is not my gig.
What a move. What a cool. Yeah. Okay, another Empire sucks, but cool move. I didn't see that coming at all. He's taking a hunter right now. Oh, an engine?
We need
it. The pilot. Even better.
Exactly.
Way better.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to Tarkin, Obi-Wan Kenobi saying Tarkin wanted to get ahead of what he was up to so he can steal credits or something like that could be a thing too, right? This could be an ulterior motive on Tarkin's behalf. Let's fish for Krennic, so I'm gonna throw him under the bus just like he did Krennic or Hemlock. He wants to throw Hemlock under the bus just like he did with Krennic to go to the Emperor and says, I'm gonna report on Mount Tantus and I'm gonna report things are doing good, you know, we don't need these other guys.
Tarkin's
trait.
In charge of Tantus too. Jesus.
Yeah, right. Or he wants to be the hero of the Empire, right? He wants to be, he definitely wants to be like second in command of the Emperor. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Emery has a heart. She gave that little girl doll. Yeah, this is setting up something where yeah, a turn. Yeah, and it's going to happen within those kids. I think at that plot, her and the kids are
also
be...
also. I mean, does this again? Each week gets closer to what we're talking about, right? You see it getting closer to the path.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every week.
It has to.
And we're dealing with kids now, specifically a bunch, 54 at least kids.
You're right.
That we're going to have to hide and get away from the Empire and hide from the Empire. All these Asajj, kids around town.
Asajj being in it means more than just a cameo. And if it goes back to Quinlan and Asajj,
Quinlan was the path.
Yeah. And so, like, they, okay, so the Bad Batch, okay, at the end of this, they captured or Omega went, you know, willingly to get, surrendered. Hoping that they would track her to find Tantus. That failed because Crosshair shaped the arm. You know,
no, he had to fight the people off, shoot all of them to get the shot off, and then it was just too short.
I was hoping it would be like his misaim, but it just was like a missed shot. Yeah. But obviously she got away without no tracking, no anything, right? So who do you go to? Now you go to Asajj or Fennec and you get these people in to help more, right?
Track down Cad Bane.
Right, to go track down Tantus inevitably, like because Asajj knows she knows where all this, you know, the basis she found them on a secret island.
She did
find Tantus. Yeah.
She did, but not even Cad Bane knows where Tantus is. They did the exchange on Coruscant, so
yeah,
they would.
They're right. Coruscant. It was a different. Yeah, yes, yeah. It was did. A different. It was a different meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a space station orbiting Coruscant, so not even Cad Bane knows where Tantus is. Now, did you guys also notice, and it's the first time I've actually paid attention, you've got Mount Tantus in the foreground, but in the background there's a almost identical mountain with the same machinery built into it. Is Tantus one part of a massive multi-mountain complex?
Well, one's going to be the mount, right? The main one, and then something else. But yeah, they have the big stuff, right? This is where we're going to see the monster, the Zillow Beast. Is down there somewhere, maybe in that other one for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. The Emperor, the Emperor has, they've said that before. That's why on Jakku and all these places, the Emperor has storage places and labs and different things. All
Why have one and put all your eggs in one basket to get blown up? That's why he had two Death Stars, maybe even more at a point where being constructed.
A fleet of Death Stars, remember?
Yes, that was like the big rumor on.
Playing around too, trying to map it out.
It was a Death Star for every system. So if they get out of line, boom. And then,
the Star Destroyers and
they did 9 it.
Came out. Yeah,
they did it. Did. Yeah. Essentially, they did it. We were right. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and what was it in The Last Jedi? Miniaturized Death Star tech was the battering ram cannon.
Right. Let's. Yeah. Gross.
Exactly. It's gross. Yeah. But I have to look at that again, Scott, like the background of that and see if there was more of the same structural.
It looked like it. It's the first time it caught my eye and it made me wonder, sense, though, is there more to it? Yeah.
It makes sense. You know,
I still want to see what's in those cylinders though. We still haven't seen, you know, we've only seen them from the back and we've seen.
We almost got a glimpse.
We're gonna get that answer.
Yeah,
it's a big reveal too. Yeah,
we almost got it. I was like, "Oh hell, this is what we're doing!" And then, it does its little switcheroo.
That'll be the final episode of the season when they're destroying Mount Tantus, and you see what's in those tubes. You know,
and all the Snoke clones come.
Oh man, they can't destroy Tantus right after the Clone Wars. That would be horrible.
We need Tantus for our theory crafts to work. We need Tantus alive.
Yeah, I need Tantus for the Mandoverse. It
needs to still be we need Tantus for the Mandoverse. This might just end up being, like I said, that the rescue mission to rescue the clone, because they keep going back to it. We got to find Tantus so we can rescue the rest of the clones.
If they rescue the clones, if they get out of Tantus, Tantus is compromised. Would they allow Tantus to still exist? Would the Emperor allow Tantus to continue to exist if it's been compromised by people that are, you know,
brass enough to go
in there?
Brash fortifies the planet. Yeah, I mean, you would think about this, like, you know, the Empire can fortify the planet where it's almost like this, like a stronghold. You can't get, it's impenetrable. You know, it's a.
Or to Scott's point, we come in, everybody comes and destroys the one, but you got the second one back there, and everybody's like, that wasn't the main. You catch the Emperor and Tarkin walking together, talking about it, right?
We're cloning mountains now. We're cloning mountains.
Now in Tantoo.
It seems to me like because we know that the Bad Batch are coming, right? You know that they're going to bring Rex, and we know Rex is still around post Return of the Jedi.
Right.
It's compromising that mountain with those characters means that it's not a viable location anymore.
You're right. Okay. Dude. That means we're going to have seen the end of Kamino and the end of Mount Tantus.
Yeah. So something else. Is this where Exegol takes over? Is that where we move the facilities to Exegol and we introduce it into the canon?
Still gross.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, but to make the sequels make sense,
right?
Yeah. To make the sequels make sense, that is a good way around it.
Yeah.
Now we did leave off where Omega just was captured. She's in space. So again, we can pick next week off of some sort of she can maybe never reach Tantus and get her back in the fold of it. So
that could still be a stopper before getting there.
And then Emery does something within, but Guy is within. And so therefore the secret still remains, but she does free whatever, or they get them off planet, but they don't know where they're at either.
That gets convoluted, don't it?
Well, Omega doesn't even know when she left. She didn't know where she was. Like she didn't know about Waylon and all that stuff. But they did mention the planet though in this episode.
Yeah.
So if they mention the planet, don't you think there's some kind of records, or is it another Kamino erased from the record stuff? It's like
maybe. I think it was pretty erased. No, in the books it wasn't. They knew Waylon was a
place. They just didn't know what it was used for. But now that Omega's confirmed its usage and they know about Tantus and they didn't mention Waylon, it's like, well, why are you searching?
I didn't even catch the mention, dude.
Wrecker said it. I believe it was Wrecker said it. He said something about Tantus and Waylon. Like, I was like, whoa, if they know, then go to the library, look that shit up.
It's almost right. Why wouldn't you just ask the droid, where's Mount Tantus?
Yeah.
So here we go. This is real quick shot of Mount Tantus, and you see in the background.
Right. Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the beasts are for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, here's that killed the there's an other one secret over there because it's like blatant.
It's right there.
They're like right there.
Yeah.
How come nothing pops up on my screen when I do that?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. I'm sorry.
All right, I wanna. Okay, so let's see. We got Andy's panties. Andy's panties. What's up, man? Is it safe to say Tech is really dead, or is he the special trooper that's hunting them?
Oh, there we go. Special trooper was the next topic. Yeah,
I don't think he's the special trooper because he would have known about Pabu. He would have known about the planet because they were all there on that planet.
Yep.
Unless he's completely brainwashed and they've removed his memories, which is possible, but I don't think that.
I'll tell you what it would be
tragic.
What they should do and what they're doing could be two different things, but it does seem like there is some sort of closure because Omega putting Tech's goggles up and then putting Wrecker's doll, like the stuff. It does bring a sense of why we're fighting, what the purpose for their remaining in the fight is. And it's like bringing those kind of artifacts in reminds them of like, Tech and what he would do. So bringing them back for that kind of like a bad guy or whatever, it's been used a million times, first off, but sometimes
in this series of cartoons, right? It happens too much.
I mean, too much. So I would like it to be like he's a permanently dead, but it's also their catalyst for their
heroes need to stay dead.
Yeah, they need
to come back as much as they want.
You know, it could even be whenever they are freeing Tantus, whenever they are freeing everybody from Tantus, maybe they find him in a medical bay or something. Maybe he's, I don't know why they would keep him. I don't know why he would still wouldn't be executed for what he did. But there's a possibility that whenever they're clearing it out, what's in the, what's here? Oh, here it's Tech. Oh my God. And they rescue.
I would roll my eyes, but also I'd be kind of like interested in the story. Right. I'd be like,
they could use it to make Omega do what they need or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only reason that Tech would serve a purpose to me. Other than that, I would be very upset for him coming back.
You're 100% right on that. Yeah, so
she would do it. Oh. She would do anything to.
Of course, yeah. Right. She's yeah. Take all my blood. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. She just surrendered herself to Tannis, trusting that they'll come get her. Right. I mean, she'll do anything to save everybody. That's
a good point, Scott, about that. Well, like, if they had Tech in custody for that reason.
Yeah.
Me personally, I think it should have just been their reason to fight. Yeah.
I think he should be dead. And I really like where you're going with that by putting his goggles in there, being very symbolic. I love that.
Yeah. Like a reminder of
right before it gets bombed. Right.
Right.
Right. I know. Right.
I think this agent or character, right. We've mentioned it before, like in the old books, the Spardi cylinders were getting clones fast in cycles, days even. Right.
Right.
And it makes them more aggressive. It makes them less controllable. It makes them create, you know, a little crazy. They're not as fine tuned as Rex. Right. So I think that's what we're going here. And that's why he said, I'm bringing you and the other ones aren't ready yet. They're just not there. They're still cooking.
Yeah. You know? They're obviously Hemlock's creations because, you know, he had them on the hit the secret pad and all that stuff.
Yeah, man. This is first Dark Trooper or first
Death Troopers.
Death Trooper, whatever, you know, before they started using droids.
I would love that, right? Like at the end of the season, like if we get this glimpse of like Hemlock, the Emperor demands the Death Trooper program to be accelerated, and then and then that soldier goes off. That would be cool, like a kind of a
Or like I said, a Dark Trooper. They're droids now, right? And
so this is like
they were in suits,
right?
Building up, so and become droid. Isn't that right? Right? That's way.
Yeah, yeah. No, either way,
make him something where he's a V1, you know,
I like it. Yeah. Let's see here. Let's put Ernie in our program too.
Ernie, congrats on 500, pal.
Thank you.
Almost in time for our outro. We just brought him in for our outro.
And
I apologize. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch these two, and everybody kept messaging me today of how good they were. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't want to get spoiled.
You shouldn't.
Yeah. Then you might want to pop
be here.
I did. I just wanted to pop in and say hi. Okay. I'm gonna have to go pick up the kid. I told everybody awesome, to rewatch. Ernie. Go watch. Dude. Like I didn't. I had no chance. I had a hell of a day. To do some therapy.
This is one on mine that I would tell you to go watch.
I was getting messages, so I was excited, but it didn't happen today. So I couldn't. So I will rewatch and be part of the replay crew like everybody else.
I want to see your thoughts.
I'll leave a thumbs up and a comment.
That's what's up.
Whoa.
Yeah. and then I will also be watching the replay of this while I'm playing with my figures as I take them off my Tashi Station Emporium stands and much more. Yes.
Look at this guy.
Yeah. And then I'll tell Tashi Station Emporium all about it. And I'll see if I agree with the artist Scott Solo. And then Dark Dad, see what we can discuss on the next one. So please keep up with all of these. And then I'll check in with Bootleg Joe and see how he's doing. Okay.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Ernie. It's good to hear your voice. All right.
Sorry.
I love you too.
I will definitely be here next week. I'll watch the next one.
Bye.
Peace. Love you guys. Peace.
Bye. Federation.
And Joey should be in any minute. He said he was going to be late, right?
Joey said he's going to be late
any minute.
Okay, getting back to that. All right, cool. That was cool for him. That was cool for him to check in.
That was fun.
I thought he was just going to go for like an 8-hour show over there, but
it'd be funny if he just hopped in like every 10 minutes or so. He was just like, "Hey guys, what's going on?"
Guys, I just watched the first 10 minutes, and it's so great. Oh, bye.
did you talk about?
Yeah, we did. Cad Bane, what a dick. All right, let's go.
Did you get into Catch a Predator Bane over there?
All right, so Obi-Shan Kenobi saying, just don't kill Nala Se until they make a Black Series figure. Dude. We need at least one
that's
Kaminoan in the line. Yeah,
okay, hold on. I'm getting my battle droid this week, Funko Pop.
Yes,
that's my new
one. Kaminoan.
I need a Kaminoan. Now I got my battle droid. Now I need a Kaminoan.
All right. Next
in pop form. That's a crazy one, right?
Next agenda. Yeah, it was kind of a bittersweet moment. In fact, Monday when we do our toy chest, it's probably going to be a focal point of Chris has got a or has announced a battle droid is coming, and that's exciting. It's kind of bittersweet. It's almost like a end to an era.
Don't cry, man. Don't cry.
No.
Oh, you've 700 pops later, and your battle droid's coming.
It goes for pre-order on Friday. Watch me not be able to get one.
No,
I'll get it. It won't be a problem. But watch this. This is the randomness of it, right? It's like, oh no, this one isn't in yet for another 2 months.
You think like everybody who collects Funko has been clamoring for this battle
droid? I did. You know what? And most of them said, "Oh wow, a battle droid."
Yeah, right.
I don't want your "oh wow, a battle droid." I got a holy shit. I finally got an effing battle droid. That's what I need. Right? Only people that do that can have.
Yeah. One. Yeah, but I agree with you, Obi-Shan. We need a Black Series Kaminoans. Sure. All of them. Yeah. Dude, that's something to bring up on Monday's show, too. You know, figures we don't have.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're going to probably should be, right?
Absolutely. Cool
things we've gotten, things we really like, the main ones we have to have.
Jeez. Yeah, absolutely. We got Travis Mitchell checking in. So, and he also says, I think given how the starter revealing Echo survived. Having Tech survive makes it feel like any clone can come back, removing tension. Yeah, again.
And they're so similar in character, right? Of what their attributes and things, right? Attributes. That it's pointless. It's pointless. Yeah. You had to kill off the character because you were duplicating anyway.
Yeah.
And bringing them back is just like, stop.
It seems like it would be a waste of resources just to preserve. Because you can replicate that. And like if you can replicate the Bad Batch, I assume.
You hate to keep cloning the clone stories, right?
And I think symbolic, like this whole thing about his goggles, and that's their main motivation. Because once they feel like quitting, it's like, look at the goggles. Like, there's our reasoning to push forward or to join the greater fight, to join Rex's, stuff. Like, I think it's important for that. And Dave Filoni is with one that of
talk, knows, right? Because we don't, I don't, then all these clones aren't going to survive, right? We're talking about Tech alive. We're still losing two of these guys at least.
Yeah.
Right? There's no,
but not Wrecker, but not Wrecker anymore.
Right. And you know what? Maybe just one then. You're right. And we talked about it a little bit in chat. Yeah. You don't knock Wrecker out again, right?
You don't almost kill him to kill him. Yeah.
That's, you just don't do that. So that would be, that would be redundant too, man. It's just you should have just killed him right there, and that would have been so sad.
It's
the same thing with Echo then, because Echo died already once, right? So you don't kill off a character to bring him back to kill him off again.
Yeah,
right. So Echo save, Wrecker save.
Hunter is screwed.
Hunter's out. Yeah. And they're gonna think that's a big touch, man, and it ain't. Hunter needs to go. I'm tired of Hunter. Crosshair is the one that has to take Omega or do something with Omega. They're going to be the ones at the end.
Crosshair is going to save Omega.
That's the two linked. Yeah.
Or again, we don't know about this because there was that thing that you shared with us about this major emotional ending to this thing. It could be where Crosshair rescues Omega from being dissected, but they end up dying anyway in a blaze of. I have this thing. It's like, okay, in a more of an emotional thing, rather than having her succumb to Hemlock's experiments, I'd rather have Crosshair finally embrace. Like, it's that whole moment before death. You know, it's almost like that Rogue One moment, but they both die together. You know, Omega realizing her importance to the Empire, and if there's no escape for her, she's like, I gotta be destroyed.
Maybe. Can see her actually doing that. I could.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to go that dark with the series. I don't know. Like that's
a tough one. They even stunned kids in this one, right? I don't know if they'll actually go that far with her. I stand by. It's her. Crosshair. Okay, who's your favorite Bad Batcher?
Crosshair.
Out of all of them, Crosshair.
Crosshair.
Yeah,
has been since day one.
Well, Crosshair.
I have a special place in my heart for Wrecker. I think Wrecker's cool, but he's the gentle giant, right?
Yeah.
If
you'd asked me season one, Wrecker.
Yeah.
Wrecker would have been my favorite. They stopped the Wrecker thing. They killed Wrecker's character. They just stopped focusing on him at all. Right. So it's not going to be Wrecker at the end. And who's your favorite clone in Clone Wars? Who's like the
Rex.
Rex.
Yeah.
We're meeting that Crosshair is going to end this alive. Omega is going to end this alive. Rex will end this alive. We know. Right. And then we go into the Asajj story. All of our favorite people, our favorite Sith assassin. right? Our favorite clone, our favorite Bad Batcher, our favorite Jedi we don't get to see all the time in Quinlan, right? We all want to see. That is the making of a Filoni, you know.
I love it. Bukkake, I love it.
Right? Yeah. It really is, man. And that's,
you know,
that's
why? Because every
Filoni would do.
Every one of those characters are completely different from each other.
And
completely different.
Crosshair and so is super interesting, right? Quinlan is crazy.
Asajj. And if that's a group, holy crap.
The personalities in there and the banter and everything going on. Dude, Crosshair and Asajj. Somebody who said that the other day? They said, oh, my sister. She's all, did you get a crazy vibe from Crosshair and Asajj? Like, that might be a thing. I said, well, if Quinlan didn't exist, sure. But they had that banter, Obi-Wan Asajj type banter, I think.
Right.
This
Asajj would eat Crosshair up.
Oh, in a fight for sure. She destroyed.
No, just anyway. In life, like she was just like, "There's that is not a challenge for Asajj, man. Asajj needs a Force user to
do things." But she's got the life experience, and he's like 5 years old, so it's.
But if you're ever gonna do this, if you're gonna do other shows, you're gonna do everything, and you're gonna lead us into the other stuff. It's perfect, and I'm so excited about it. I've got myself worked up, and it's not happening. But
right.
I'm so excited for what doesn't happen.
Well, you know, something's gonna happen, whatever it is. You know, we know that the
coming to an end.
We know that the voice actress for Asajj said there's more on the way, right? Or something alluding to that. So,
we're headcanoning the surviving members of this show is the catalyst for the next show, or
combined with the Rexy. Asajj and all this stuff going on, and it's all
you just don't call it Bad Batch, you call it the path. And
your whole story is mission after mission, like they do anyway, saving Force sensitives and mostly kids, right? And the heart of Star Wars is what kids always has been, right? You go to every story, you got Ahsoka in the Clone Wars, you got Luke and
Grogu,
you got Grogu in the Mandalorian. It's always about kids, the good ones are, right? The sequels didn't have enough kids, they're all. Right, Ray, I guess, was 19.
They had the Ray as started as a kid,
And so
it had the kids, but they were grown. It had this kid's tragedy. Finn was kidnapped from,
you're right.
And they had Ray as parents left. And
there it is. The heart of Star Wars is the kids. So, next show is going to be about
Broom Boy. I mean,
right? With all this going on, it's obvious it's the same thing. The reason they're after Grogu. And they know specifically about Grogu, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering. I want to see an animated Grogu, dude, or at least we talked about it before. Ahmed Best character in cartoon action talking about him or how he lost him. You know.
Yeah, maybe that was the motion capture he was doing. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I was thinking about that earlier. So we've got the path. Their whole point of existing is rescuing younglings, right? Or rescuing Force-sensitive children, right? So by the time we find Grogu in season one, episode one of The Mandalorian, that is not the path. He has been taken by somebody else. Are we going to see the fall of the path as well?
Do we know that's not the path? We don't know anything. They were defending Grogu. We don't know.
That's true.
They could have given him to the Empire the whole time. The client, those guys could have been part of the path for all we know.
They could have been,
Oh, right.
Oh, wait, a whole bunch of them were actually what kind of, they were? What is
Nikto? Not what, Nikto, or the
other one. There were Nikto. There were all sorts of different things. Could they? We always talk about Hondo, right?
Yeah.
How to bring Hondo into it. Maybe that's Hondo's crew.
Maybe Mando just wiped out Hondo's whole crew.
You gave me a show, Scott. Right? I'm totally in, right? Yeah. Mando took out Hondo's crew. And when we finally get Hondo in live action, you.
Yeah. What did you do? I'm all by myself again.
You're the one who took out my man.
You see Grogu, my guy. Or whatever
we'll have
calls
to go
him.
Back. And if we see a little Ugnaught jumping the rooftops, I'll be like, come on, dude.
Oh, my God, dude. Okay. See, we write better stories than these guys, man. That would have rocked right there. That whole situation. Yeah, we don't know what happened. We never got the story of who had Grogu.
I just assumed that maybe the path had fallen, but you're right. We don't know who those guys were. And IG-11 was going to kill Grogu. So,
Because
And they would have already given him to the client if that was the case.
Especially for money. I mean, yeah. If it was a bounty, right? If yeah. money was, ex-
yeah.
Jesus, I mean, it yeah, wasn't Mando a wiped out the path.
Could you imagine? Dude? Yeah.
Oops.
Wow.
Oops. yeah. I'm in. That's the story now. We're sticking to it. Filoni. Yeah. I know you're listening, dude. Again.
Yeah. So yeah.
That should be.
I know you're on the replay, Clue, because it's you can't do it live. I get it. You're busy, but you know.
Or you at least can't chime in.
Yeah.
Although, do we know, have we ever seen This Is the Way and Dave Filoni in the same room together?
We haven't. Okay, we haven't.
Well, who
is this Travis Mitchell guy?
I don't know. All these code names. I don't know.
Well, Travis Mitchell has a good insight here too. He says, "Wait, I think I just pieced it together. CX lands in the cave Ventress landed in. Thatcher finds Hunter in the water, and that's where we last see them as they run off. I think Hunter snuck on the ship. I can't remember. I have to go back and see where was, because I know we had people, you know, it was only Crosshair who saw the ship take off. Did we go back to Hunter? That's a good.
Yeah. Remember. Crosshair saw Hunter and told Omega he's there. He's fine. Right. When she was talking about the surrender.
Right.
So it is possible though, because we never saw Hunter again.
Right.
Because he said, don't worry about it. He's safe. So we never came back to them meeting up and we never went to
so Hunter's that story, there, so there's
possible for sure. That's right. That could play.
But okay. At the same time, then we've got Travis Mitchell also saying right here, the next episode is Juggernaut. The season 3 trailer shows what appears to be Sid being rescued by Fee and the Batch from a Juggernaut. So she probably knows something or has a connection, which would put Hunter on that mission and not in the CX's ship.
Hmm. Yeah. And damn it. Why do we have to go?
We only have like 4 episodes left. Like, come on, forget Sid.
Yeah.
Unless she's got the info, right?
And we don't have time for a side
mission. Worries me because Fee puts me back in the Tex alive. Right? That worries me having her involved at all. Today's when she just popped in and out and she was used for that scenario and it worked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. They name drop Sid, didn't have to deal with her. Fee was here for a quick second and they used her. That was the cool plot piece.
That was cool.
We're good with these
films. Find the island.
Yeah. Right? We'll see her again though, because that island, that is her home planet. That's where she's from. We're definitely gonna see her teaming up with them again.
I didn't realize you're right. You're totally right.
Yeah,
that makes sense for her.
Where she brings all her antiquities. That was the museum. So yeah.
That's right.
All right. Sorry,
we
man.
We're talking ourselves into the. We keep talking
in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Then we go. Oh no. You know. But that's.
I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy these damn podcasts we do. We're all flustered.
Yeah, I'm with Don now. I'm like, I'm just gonna.
But we're not complaining. We're loving it.
No,
that's
a
good thing. Right?
Yeah, that's the problem. We're loving it too much, and now we're getting ourselves worked up too much. You know, a la sequels.
This, like I said, what other movies do you do this with? What other IP do you really do this? I mean, I know we do it in a sense for other things, but like really kind of like to the point where it's like, if the hair is messed up, why is Yoda's hair messed up? There's a reason. I mean, we go down to like the smallest detail, and it's fun. It's so much fun to do it. It's just fun.
I used to do it with G.I. Joe and Transformers, but now they screwed that way up. So I'm out. I only do that for Star Wars now. I can't.
Anytime it's in comic format, they have too much freedom to and then they just got, I would just reboot it. I would just erase that. Erase the last 5 years. Here's a new beginning. It's picked up exactly where he left off. Yeah.
Junobi, complaints from me. I love it all.
Absolutely, absolutely, Julie. Like, the complaints that I have are in the sequels. Okay. All right. That's like, complaining. Okay,
I have real world complaints about stuff, but not.
I'm a habitual complainer about the sequels, and I wasn't. That's the thing. I wasn't when those were coming out. It took me to Rise of Skywalker to really put it together and go, "Wow, I was rose colored glasses." You know, I was just kind of like.
But that's what all of this is building up to,
and right?
All of this is
funny
making
I'm cool with this
story.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's giving us an ending.
I'm cool with the build up.
I'm hoping by the time it's all said and done, we can watch the whole saga and be like, "Oh, it makes so much sense now." Of course, Palpatine survived, right? Of course, he returned.
Somehow, it's all there.
We do that with Clone Wars and the prequels, and we do that with the prequels and the originals, right? We can do that well. I just hope that the the hatred for the sequels, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't stop people from doing that, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're world building here in different orders. That's how Star Wars has always been. So
right, sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down, man. If you can make the sequels better, do it. Do I think that's going to happen big time? No, not as far as watching the movies, but as far as the story goes, dude. Yeah. 100%.
The lead up. Yeah. The
we'll be like, oh, that story makes sense. I don't have to watch Tross again.
The problem is right now that the generation, the world we live in right now is the one of instant gratification. We want all the answers and we want it now. We have no patience for the long con, right? We have no patience for the long game. Nope. And if you look at Star Wars and where it started, that was all the long game, man. We had 3 years in between the movies. There not only were there 3 years in between the movies, there was like passage of time in those too, right? Mm-hmm. The sequels were almost like how we currently live. They were so truncated together that here I am on this island and the very next shot is 2 seconds later, right?
Yeah. But it's hand holding storytelling also. Right. They gave us nothing to theorycraft. Here's you land to here, you sink into the quicksand and you find the dagger, where the dagger puts you here, and you're sitting as audience going like, well, what, like, what? I'm just watching visually a visually appealing movie with zero plot. Like a little bit of complication goes a long way with mm-hmm. again, it's hand holding. The audience is too dumb to figure this out. So I'm gonna put point A to point B to point C. And spell it out like a, you know, a coloring book, you know.
Now we kind of need that though, because with where Rise of Skywalker ended up, you know, kind of out of nowhere, with we need not hand holding, but we need this backstory. We need this. Okay, tell us how we get there. Just fill it like the Clone Wars did. Fill
in the somehow goes away.
Right, and the somehow. So funny how, whenever he says somehow, we're like, ha ha.
Yeah, but what's somehow
funny is when he says somehow, we kind of already knew.
Yeah,
right. Like we've already figured out the cloning thing, because the way it's always kind of been. But it doesn't matter, because they did such a shit poor job of it in that movie, right? But you know, sequels be damned. I still love Force Awakens. I love Force Awakens. I will watch Force Awakens right now without a problem, and I will enjoy Force Awakens.
I do.
Last Jedi, I will put on. I won't like it like Force Awakens, but I can appreciate some of the parts. And I really, really love Kylo Ren. I do. Mm-hmm. Kylo Ren is a fantastic character within the sequels.
I agree.
And the final fight with him and Luke, whether it's a fight or not, just the rage and the shoot, the fire, everything you've got on him, blah, blah, blah. And he's standing there, whether it's him or not. Right. And they come out and do the little fantastic stuff, dude. That whole ending was cool.
Yeah.
Even the floating rocks. Right.
Yeah.
All of that.
It's Rise. Rise is the one.
It really did lose it in Rise.
I mean,
and the casino.
It's pretty. It's pretty to look at. It's got some great. It's got great moments, but as a cohesive story, it just kind of falls apart.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it's got. I mean, that moment with Kylo and Han on the Death Star. Every time I see that, I get choked up. Right. I mean, and it's got these moments in it where it's like, oh my God, that's beautiful. But the rest of it is just like, oh God. What are we doing?
It's, to me, it was like I said, it's this again. I know we're on the sequel soapbox, but the first two movies did, like I said, say people will say what they want about Last Jedi. It did set up a lot of cool possibilities,
different things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like these things going, okay, now what? Oh shit. Now what? You threw it upside down and people are upset with the upside. I'm okay with the upside down, but Rise has got to really like put it together. And then they did this thing where we had one path, and then at the last second they were like, well, no, the story goes, no, these two are together, and aha, I'm back. And then Emperor comes back and then he dies. It's like you brought him back to kill him, and it just nothing. It was just weird hand holding storytelling, and I don't appreciate it. I don't like it.
You know what? Hey, let me be the one again. Let's run back to Asajj. Okay, let's go back to Bad Batch and the cool shit. So since we're talking about things that have to be done fast, right? You know the biggest complaint about the Asajj episode?
Huh.
How come we don't know how she got back? She died in Dark Disciple. Read the article where they said, we'll deal with that, right? Be patient. It will come out. So we get her in one episode. Let's be patient, right? That's the thing about this instant gratification, instant answers. This is a secret.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guarantee you, most people that are complaining about it never read that freaking book.
I was just about to say that.
They read it in a byline. Yeah. They don't give a shit about what happened in that book, right?
Let me tell you this. I just redid the audio, right? I just did it. I never finished it before, but now I'm like, there is actually a clear path for her return. A clear path. And again, you're right, Scott. The ones who says, oh, how dare they just all do it. They didn't read it. They just took a blurb and they read
it. Somebody else's headline. How did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, or some Mike Joe bullshit, right?
Yeah, just the baloney.
Yeah,
just to put it out there.
Filoni's suddenly becoming a villain in this story, right? It's like, I was reading somebody saying Dave Filoni just throws out book canon whenever he feels like he's got a better story to tell. I'm like,
sure.
He incorporates book canon. He brings it in and he's respectful of all that. You know, anytime there's a story, like here's the thing. When we theory crafted the sequels and most things, right? Most things non-Filoni, our ideas are better. Right. And it comes out, we're like, damn, if it would have done that, it would have been cooler. I don't think if I can think of anything in Clone Wars, anything in Rebels, anything that Filoni's done where any of our theory crafts would have been like, oh, yeah, ours would have kicked that one's ass. Filoni always no comes way. Through at the end. And I'm always like, I'm super satisfied with the end. And I'm really good with how this
works. Because it makes sense.
I trust that every single time. And it makes sense in the end, whether it was what I thought, what you guys thought, or anything. It was what Filoni thought. And Filoni works.
Yeah.
So, and it's basically one of us. He could be sitting right here. Right.
And yeah. And if
the aircraft are with us, we'll be like, yeah, that's good. Let's write that. And it just happens to do that.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And to make a statement of like the writing team, no matter what they don't pay attention to the books is false. Because in Dark Disciple, that whole saying about there's no such thing as good and evil, there's only power and ones who want it. That is a direct quote from Dark Disciple that's in the Acolyte trailer. Yeah. So it is a direct quote. Okay. Because I was like, I paused it. I even told you guys, chapter this, if 7 minutes in, this is what it says. And Asajj, just to put it out there, as far as like, you know, people getting their head around Asajj's return. Yeah, there is some Night Sister magic stuff that it still needs to happen to return. But as soon as she was taken, as like they said that she was dead, they put her in immediate stasis, immediately stasis, which means, you know, frozen, carbon freezing, but like, a moment in time stopped. And then Quinlan took her to the life water, which the life water reacted. And then they heard the Night Sisters whisper the name sister and they backed off and she sank into the life pool. Okay. Yeah, so with that, and that's how they left Asajj. So she wasn't just like stabbed and left for dead or destroyed or disintegrated. There was some stasis, life pool, Night Sister magic. Asajj is back. I mean, there still have to, it can't just be as like she just appears. I hope there is more there,
I'll make more out of it.
But if you read the book, right? If you then those people wouldn't say those kind of things of like she's dead. Oh, I don't get it. But there's like even just listening to that, I go, well, there's a way around it. There, it's perfect. It's like,
it's written there. We're good. We're set. And even if they don't, I don't know if we're gonna get the answer by the end of Bad Batch.
I think I don't think by Bad Batch. I don't think
it'll be in the path. Calling the path. I'm calling.
Right.
That's the new show.
I don't want it to be, and I don't want her involvement in Star Wars to end up just being Tales of the Jedi. I love Tales of the Jedi, and I like the short. I like the short form storytelling of it, but I want her to be in. I want Asajj to have a moment to shine. Right. It's a great character that's just been kind of a side villain, you know, not even the main villain. She just kind of been there. I'd like more.
Yeah, I love Asajj. Give her own series with all those group, and then, dude. Okay, how about in between? We have this show right now, right? Then give us the Tales of the Jedi, how she comes of Dark Disciple, and how she comes out of the water, right? Yeah. How she comes back to life. So give us a Dark Disciple recap. And that, and then we start the path show because now we're all caught up. Now we know she's alive. We know she had died.
It's all there.
Now let's start McQuinlan.
Yeah, man. I didn't know that Dark Disciple was.
We don't need to be doing. I know. What we're doing, man.
I didn't know that Dark Disciple book was like lost episodes for the Clone Wars. I didn't know that it was. I was like, oh, that's cool. And they were going to show
Lucas,
it,
right? It was. Yes. It was a Katie Lucas story. That was. I mean, there you go.
His son, not Katie Lucas.
No, it was Katie.
It was Katie. It was his daughter, Katie. 100%.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah.
She did it. She did the forward.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yes. I didn't know that was supposed to be a plot point for Asajj's death and Quinlan's side adventure in the Clone Wars, which is
you're really right. Cool, so that makes sense that he would bring her back, because he's the one that killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So he would obviously leave a loophole.
Right.
Yep.
That's not. Yeah. That's even the better point, dude. That's not even just a book. That's the Clone Wars. That belongs to Filoni. So he's allowed to do that. So
yeah,
do what you want, Filoni.
Exactly. You
know? And Filoni, we trust.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Quinn, the Quesadilla, welcome back. I still love that name. This is the way of saying, by the way, guys, the Kenners who composed the music for Bad Batch said today that they had just finished The Tales of the Jedi 2. It's done, confirmed. Ooh. Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Awesome. And yeah, again.
Oh, yeah. I would bet money Asajj is in there all
the whole going story. On what that voice actor
yes.
said?
Yes. Yes.
Come on. I mean,
I just don't want that to be it, though.
I don't think right? so. I don't think so, man.
What do you mean it?
He's like, worried that's it.
That's it for Asajj. I want more. Oh, I don't want her, the rest of her story told in Tales of the Jedi, and that's the last.
We need a new series like we've been talking about. We just don't want it to be the short form Dooku stuff, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But we don't want the short Asajj stories from the Clone Wars. We've had enough of that. It's Dark Disciple, her rise, and let's jump, right?
Star Wars animation is too good to stop now, right?
They hired more.
It's the best thing they got going, honestly.
They hired more. Yeah, they hired more. It is very good. It doesn't look like they're stopping at all, because again, hiring more animators, because Bad Batch just finished, I think there's a big series. I think there's a long form series coming, and that definitely could be, like I said, the dark times around that setting, or something High Republic. I don't know, maybe, or something that's going to set up the future movies, right? The Rey movie, or the 10,000 years, or 25,000 years, like the Dawn of the Jedi stuff.
Yeah.
Both. Let's go both, right? I mean, if you're hiring, if you have the group that brought us Clone Wars, Bad Batch, Tales, and they continue something, you brought in more animators, that seems like there's going to be another show, like two shows.
Seems like it.
I'm all for it, right?
Doing well. Yeah, I would be. I would rather have an Old Republic Revan story, I think,
in
animation.
I don't know, man. I think so, too, because no matter who you get to play these characters, nobody is going to be satisfied. Always going to be complaining. You can do more with animation. You could go a little crazier with Jedi power. You could hire whoever you wanted to do voiceovers. It wouldn't have to adhere to a certain look.
Great. Yeah, no, I can get over acting choices. I think that the right director has to, it's almost like Peter Jackson was the right guy to do Lord of the Rings, because he was such a fan. Like he knew Tolkien's history to the T. And I think if you bring in somebody to do like if you're going to go live action, bring in somebody that knows the Old Republic, not just somebody that goes, oh, look, here's these characters and here's this little thing, I'm just going to do my own thing. No, you're going to know these characters and world build off of it. If that doesn't happen, then I agree. Then just put it in.
I feel like it has to be too big, too grand, too much to be just fit into. Well, it could be a trilogy, I suppose. It could.
A trilogy.
I would more see short. See, that's what I mean. Darth Bane, I could see as a series or a movie. It's a little more. You know, cranial. You're. It's more thinking and more strategy and stuff going on, right? Well, on Old Republic, there's that stuff too, but a lot more action, a lot more big scene, a lot more big stuff going on, grand.
Right,
cartoon, when you have movies, cartoon, you can do big shit.
You can, but you're proving it with like movies like Dune. You're proving it with like these big epic world building movies that you can put it in. And Star Wars is no different. Star Wars is and I was trying to make this point at the beginning of the show about I'm missing that grand feeling of Star Wars versus tiny corridors in like storytelling in cantinas versus worlds. Like when we saw the Death Star for the first time, it was like, damn. And then there was all these things going on and matte paint, like big epic things. And versus like that guy, it looks like it's going to be tiny corner storytelling. The Andor's tiny story, corner storytelling. Let's get into like this big grand, epic, worlds.
Which should be kind of acolyte, but it's still going to be in the corners, huh?
Yeah. And I said, like again, I'm a advocate of like if you're not gonna do, and it's subjective too. Like Scott was saying, if you're not gonna do Old Republic correct, don't do it at all. Like don't even mention Revan. Don't just go there, because I want a Peter Jackson type to come in there, take over the thing and say the next 10 years, we're going to do 3 movies and it's going to, and we're filming it back to back to back. And we're going to have this huge storytelling thing, you know, and pump money into it. But I don't know.
Okay. I've always been, you guys know, my favorite bit of Star Wars legend storytelling was Tales of the Jedi, right? The comic series, Yula Keldroma, yeah. Exar Kun. I would rather have that in animation than any other format.
Agreed,
and
dude.
I love those stories with a passion. Nomi Sunrider, everything about.
I think you're getting that and in the movie, in the live action movie that's coming out.
See, that's what I think animation would work just better for it.
I do too, but I think it'll be a multimedia thing. Like you have the movie, and you got an animation series that comes.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. They do that a little bit. And
they can do that.
They do link pretty well right now, right? I mean, we've got Cad Bane back in animation. We've had Fennec back in animation things. I don't know, man. Whatever they do, we're gonna try to love it. I just think
the more excited I get, the more excited I get about. It's just it's funny. You go online and you listen to the naysayers, and it's like, Jesus, do I even want to talk about Star Wars anymore? And then I get in the room with you guys, and I look at the pit, and I see everything that's going on here, and I just get excited for it again.
We make ourselves excited. I'm okay being excited up until it, right? The problem is when it comes and it's not what we want or it's not good. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
But that's when I'd rather be mad. I'm tired of being mad. I'm tired of being pre-mad.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, seriously. Yeah, I don't even look at comments. I really don't. I don't even go. I just talk to you guys and the pit, and I have no problem. It's not like I said, we're yes men anyway. You know,
I happened to look recently to check it out. Just because I know, right? And I want to see. And I'm like, oh yeah, all the same shit. All the same.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what I would guess. The two sides fighting about the exact thing I figure they were fighting about.
Sure. Right.
You know,
but I think it's time, like Don's point earlier about the just sit back and relax and watch it. It is we still can do that. That's the thing too. We're not so driven far with those comments and that where you're talking about that decisiveness is like, we could still sit back and watch it, enjoy the hell out of it, going like, cause I could still put on Empire. I could still put on Mandalorian. I could still put on these things and be like, damn, I'm glad this is in my wheelhouse. I'm glad that I'm born in this generational time to appreciate it and to take it and talk about it and have like-minded people talk about it. And we can be constructive about it. And we can argue about certain aspects, but our arguments always are very fun because they're different avenues of where things go. So it's not just like, no, yes, no. It's like, okay, so your point, but check this out. What if we went, you know, even in the pit here, you guys were going off and kind of doing different theories and stuff. And I love it, you know? So
The pit's taking on a life of its own tonight. Oh, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. And Matthew Carlisle checking in as our Facebook user over there. So thank you, Matthew. I see some comments going on about toy collecting. I think Julianne Ferney said that she just was gifted her first Black Series. Yeah, I want to tell you a story. I was gifted a first Black Series not too long ago. 300 Black Series later, you're in trouble. Yeah, you're in trouble.
You're about 250 episodes ago, right?
Yeah, we got you that. Darth Vader. Darth Vader 40th anniversary, Darth Vader or 35th or whatever it was. 40th. Yeah. And that was it. I fell off the wagon because I was doing good.
So, you know what? We can pinpoint it. That was 2017. You can pinpoint. 2017, your addiction caught back up. You fell off the wagon and became
hard
behind you.
Like, hard. Yeah.
But, and now he's making stands and he's making environments for them.
Made a business out of it, right?
And he's going to play card game. He's lost his damn mind. He's way too much into this.
Yeah, way too much. Exactly. But the toy talk, the guys that are talking about vintage collection and stuff like that, tune in Monday as we get our episode 3 down on all the latest toy, Starlight Toy Chest. So join us for that too. Talk will continue on that. Yeah. But let's wrap it up. I think you know, it's so cool to have a show like Bad Batch do a 180 for us, for a lot of people, you know. And I'm so glad to find that they're not just pacifying us and just like, let them talk about bad. No, the people in our pit are enjoying it, you know, and there's people watching it. So I'm glad that that's a thing. And I am glad that the series so far has turned to this really dire, you know,
third season
situation. And we'll see where it goes. But I think we have like three or four or five episodes left, something like that. I don't know.
We have, I've actually got it pulled up right now. We have, let's see, one, two, three, four left. We've got Juggernaut next up. Then we've got episode 13, which is on the 17th, Into the Breach. That's followed by Flash Strike. And then the series finale, The Cavalry Has Arrived, on May 1st.
A little on the nose there with the title.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're really seriously not saving the day until the last episode on Tantis. So
yeah, be prepared, Chris, that Tantis won't be a thing after this. Just be prepared for it. Put your head around it.
I'm prepared now. That's just...
Sorry, it's just I keep breaking his heart.
It was nice having it. I'm not going to get sad by Oth. We're getting Snoke. Snoke is the sad by Oth, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I'm not getting any of that. Whatever.
Yeah. Just be prepared. But yeah, so let's get out of here. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody in the pit. So who wants to take us out? You want me to do it, or you want to do it, Scott?
You go for it. I bring us in. You take us out, man. You bring us into the world.
I'll just sit here.
Yeah. Chris, you just look there with your little baby face, and you just sit there, okay?
That's right, my cute baby face. Let's not forget.
Yeah, so our shirts, we went to WonderCon this last weekend, and we got some new Star Wars shirts. I got the Hunter Slayer version.
David Boba.
Yeah.
Palpatine Iron Vader. Empire.
So we got some new.
Did you have the card of the ladies we bought them from?
Didn't put it in it. They didn't put it in it at all. Like,
they gave me their card. I just didn't. Oh, I'll find it next time.
Yeah, we'll have to put a plug for the booth that we bought these from. Very cool experience on WonderCon. It was fun. Hopefully we get to hit some more conventions this year. We'll see. I know LA Comic Con, maybe the end of the year, we'll be there. So, but with that, join us Monday for Toy Chest Episode 3. We got a lot to talk about. There's some drops that are happening. Some more speculations on the HasLab. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And Chris got a battle droid. Or he's get the announce. It's not in your hand yet. It's not in your hand.
Not even pre-ordered yet till Friday.
Right. So yes, that is a thing. So, and then of course get all your vintage collection, Black Series, pops, questions, and let's talk Toy Chest on Monday. Of course, if you haven't missed, or if you've watched Ghostbusters and you want to get into a little bit of Ghostbusters talk, we dropped our Beyond the Pit, which was a couple days ago. That's on the replay right now. And we just kind of get into a fun little banter about Ghostbusters. Do we spoil it? Yeah, a little bit, but not too much, right? So it's fun to kind of get
really
into...
spoil Ghostbusters. It's just gonna be, you're gonna fight ghosts, you're gonna win at the end.
A, B, C. Yeah.
So. It's the details in the middle that kind of get muddled.
Yeah.
So we kind of go with that. We talk about that, which is a lot of fun, and those will be dropping every other Monday in between the Toy Chest shows. So we're having a lot of fun with that. So like, subscribe.
Every Monday and every Wednesday, you get Sarlacc Talk. We're here
in all kinds of avenues. This is madness. I hope everybody at the beginning of the show takes part of that Star Wars trivia too. That's a lot of fun to kind of be prepared and get the word out that we're going live Star Wars trivia at the beginning of our little intro here too. So that's kind of fun. So Toshi Station Emporium, if for all your figures, stands and display needs, I got you covered. 10% off your entire order if you use the code Sarlacc Digest Podcast when you check out. The link is in the description below. We've got artist Scott Solo on all the social medias. We've got Grand Admiral Franz on. Well, he's here. You're muted, but he's here.
If you message us on Twitter, I'll answer it. If you message us anywhere, I'll answer it. But I'm not going in on purpose.
Yeah. So a message might be
because everybody sucks.
Exactly.
Not you guys in the pit, of course.
No. Of course not. Of course, you got bootleg at _760 on Instagram. And we've got Ernie the Fallen Fett. Join the Federation every Wednesday before this show. You can go and do all the conspiracy theories and straight ghost talk that he does over there. It's actually a lot of fun. He gets into some toy talk and stuff. But he popped in to say hi. So hi, Ernie.
Subscribe to him near his 500. We can celebrate next week if he
hits him over that 501 mark, man. I mean, he's got to get.
Now but, I just want to see what he is actually at right now. 503. I have no idea what
503. Well, that little plug just boosted himself.
Yeah.
There we go.
But I think we're out of here. Until next week, of course, we got more Bad Batch to see how closer we come to our theories and how crazy it's going to get. And of course, we pay attention to all the latest news, theories, and rumors that are out there. This is your community. This is it right here. Facebook's community it's all there, man. Just look us up and join the community. I don't know. Just join. Talk. Yeah. Talk it up. Talk Star Wars.
What are you waiting for? Just do it.
All right. With that, Scott.
Keep it nerdy, everybody.